Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island since 1988. Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find 312 Wheat Ale, Big Juicy Beer Hug, and so many other limited releases at either of Goose's locations in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good music is what we want to hear.
What do you mean, good music?
It's what we dance to, what our children will dance to. And if you don't want to play it, then take your records and go home.
Did you have a band? Good or bad?
It's a great band. It's a bad band. It's like pizza, baby. It's good no matter what. There's music in the air.
Before he was an internationally known rapper, he was a poet in his native Somalia. We talked to Kanan about his journey.
Plus, the Hold Steady has a new album and a new lineup. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. Stay tuned for that and more today on Sound Opinions.
From WBEZ Chicago and American Public Media, you're listening to Sound Opinions. Now it's time for some music news.
Take a look at the great street. It don't seem the same. Remember how great it should be. The thing what it was. Sets up a little fashion. People saw what they want. The street that was a part of the British monarchy.
A rare bit of good news for the music industry, Jim. We've been documenting the precipitous decline in music sales for the last decade in the legit music industry as a result of all this rogue file sharing that's going on out there. But the British music industry had an unexpected upturn in music sales in 2009. Actually went up 1.4%, the first time since 2003 that revenue has gone in the right direction as far as the music industry is concerned. That despite the fact that CD sales continue to plummet. Physical product is still going down. They had big albums last year in the UK from Lady Gaga, Susan Boyle, Michael Bublé, Robbie Williams. The Beatles even reissued all their back catalog. Physical sales were way down, 6.1%. But digital music revenue was up more than 50%. That now accounts for one-fifth of the music market in the UK. It's a bigger share than ever before. As long as the digital sales keep moving up, they got a chance to recover in the music industry, and the UK is sort of showing the way. The bad news is that overall music sales are still down below £1 billion. They haven't exceeded that level since 2006, so they're still climbing their way back to where they once were. But this is the first bit of good news in a long time for the British music industry, and the way is being led by these legitimate music services like Spotify having a positive influence on revenue in the UK music market. It'll be interesting to see, Jim, whether this trend crosses the pond and can affect US sales in coming years.
You know, Greg, April 17th, Saturday, was Record Store Day once again in the U.S. We did a big show about it last year, talked to independent retailers from different corners of the country, a cause we truly believe in. Seems like once a year, America should come together, pay homage to these centers of musical community, which are under attack. You know, record stores are closing all across the country, some that have been in business for decades. As the music industry changes, people buy online, people download, we're losing record stores left and right. Groups of retailers have come together in recent years to celebrate the remaining independent music retailers with this Record Store Day celebration. There were 1,400 indie stores involved worldwide this year, and it started just a couple of years ago with a few hundred, a mere handful, basically. Now I think any indie left standing is taking part in Record Store Day, and musicians are showing their love for record stores. Paul McCartney, Bob Dylan, Metallica, Radiohead, Eminem, Lil Wayne, Jay-Z, Queens of the Stone Age, Bruce Springsteen, Wilco, Kanye West, a few of the superstar names that gave special product to record stores this year. In 2008, Record Store Day accounted for about $10,000 worth of sales in particular product that bands had given to record stores for exclusive sales for that day, right? $10,000, drop in the bucket. 2009, $250,000 worth of this special product. And I have not seen the final numbers yet for this April 17th, but it was projected to be more than $500,000 worth in special sales. For the independent retailers, Record Store Day is now their biggest day of the year, surpassing even the Christmas rush.
Wow.
So
that's great.
I hope that people realize that we shouldn't just celebrate record stores on Record Store Day. You need to go there the other 364 days a year, too. The other cool thing about this year, from 2008 to 2009, the jump in vinyl was 225%.
Mm-hmm.
So people are actually selling 12-inch vinyl records on Record Store Day at these independent retailers. Some cool numbers from this year's celebration.
Yeah, believe it or not, what kept me alive is my dreams.
I'm a dreamer, but I ain't the only one. Got problems, but we love to have fun. This is our world, from here to your hood. We're alive, man, it's okay to feel good. I'm a dreamer, but I ain't the only one. Got problems, but we love to have fun. This is our world, from here to your hood. Light me up now, it's okay to feel good.
I got a friend named Flo, who got a friend named Blow, with a finger named Clap that'll leave you on the side like a Kangol hat. He ain't have no choice, he was born this way. These streets pull your number like a phone display, and you gotta be defensive with your life. You gotta be like Bush and take preemptive strikes, and the boys from the hood are always hard, let alone in Mogadishu, it's a mastered art. If you bring the word hood to a seminar, we from the only place worse than Kandahar. Now that's kinda hard, but we still like to party in Hardy Hall. Something good happens, we say mashallah. Something bad happens, que sera sera. I close my eyes and all I can see is you dancing with me. I'm a dreamer.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and that is the song Dreamer from Kanan and his 2009 album Troubadour. Kanan was born in Somalia at the age of 13. He came to this country and then moved with his family to Toronto, Canada, where he picked up the English language and became an accomplished spoken word performer, poet, and MC. In 2005, his debut album came out called Dusty Foot Philosopher, and he followed it up with Troubadour in 2009. One of the tracks on that album, Wavin' Flag, has become the anthem for the 2010 World Cup in South Africa.
Yeah, there's a lot of buzz for this artist, Greg, and we were really privileged to have him come by the Jim and Kay Maybe studio as he was crossing the country with a fairly large band. He gave us a great performance, and we talked quite a bit.
And I'm transcending, I'm crowd surfing, I can't see the town burning, I'm not hurting with my mahogany pen. I'm on a world tour with Muhammad and them, and we'd be overseas.
Let's take it right back to the beginning. Born in Mogadishu in 1978, Somalia. I think people have a very narrow impression in this country of what that must have been like.
It's just Black Hawk Down and warlords, and that's about all the average American knows, I think, of your homeland.
Well, I mean, my childhood was very different than that. We grew up in a sort of the idyllic Mogadishu, you know. In the 70s, it was kind of a vacation spot and a beautiful one. People used to call it paradise on earth. Somalia has the longest running shoreline in Africa. Mm. And so it's really scenic and beautiful. But lesser known is the nature of art in this country. Somalia is known as the nation of poets.
Yeah.
And
your grandfather was a celebrated poet.
He was, right? Yeah. But I mean, it's really almost every household in the country produces some kind of a poet. Mm. And so it's an entire country made up of critics of poetry and producers of poetry. So we grew up in this kind of like eloquent world and beauty and so on. Very different from the Mogadishu today.
Is there something specific about the Somali language that lends itself to poetry? Is it particularly lyrical?
Yeah, I think it's an old language, you know, and I think that the longer the people have been around, the more variated the language becomes, the more in-depth the bank of emotions become in a language. And there are so many elements of the language, I think, that lends itself to, you know, what the Somali nature is, which is poetry.
Yeah.
And you were writing poems at a very early age, right?
Yeah, in the country, we don't really call it writing, it's reciting, you know, because the Somalis have not really written. Of all the thousands of years they've existed, you know, the first time the Somali language has ever been written was in 1972.
Wow.
It's oral tradition and a huge language bank exists. And so by the mere nature, you know, of the language, see, as a child, if you learn the language, you then learn the history and all of it. In one go, because it's all there in the language.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of expression was the poetry allowing you to vent? Did you find yourself politically conscious, or was it that you're just talking about the girl next door? Mm-hmm. What were you?
Well, when I was about 7 or 8 years old, my grandfather kind of called me into a room with his friends and my mom and some of the other poets and playwrights that were around. And he said, you know, I think this kid is going to be a poet. he said, can you recite something for us? And I was a little nervous, and, you know, I recited something. And they said that I kind of moved them in a way that they didn't expect, you know, and particularly my mother, because I spoke about, at that age, spoke about my father's absence and the whispers of the neighbors and what it means, you know, what they're saying about my father being gone from my mom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of a very adult thing to do at that age, and nobody expected it.
Can you give us a verse of the sort of thing you grew up writing?
I would say, until the lion learns to speak, the tales of hunting will be weak. My poetry hails within the street. My poetry fails to be discreet. It travels across the earth and seas, from Somalia to the West Indies. It knows no boundaries, no cheese. It's studied in parts of Greece. Runta hadikala wahanlaha. Hey.
Wow. All right. Now I'm eager to hear how it pairs up with this incredible band you have. What are you going to play for us?
I'll play you a song called America.
Excellent.
مرة شبال لهرته مرة خفيفة قوته ما جا عاجة إيشك ما جا إيه وشرف شرف حاجي ويان أقل لها حريرته دين عبان كتشوغة الله يا أشيغة تنتو أشان ليا نهوي سمسمي صباح نوري هذو كل كليو كلوم بدني هذو حل كتيرة حسوس بدني صاحبتا عشو عشق بدي لي وقدم بيستنا أني يقيلوبة وقبنام ونجي ورني نبط فني Marekin wala gasuwaye Marekin wala gasuwaye Marekin wala gasuwaye Wanna gi orde nabat bariye Marekin wala gasuwaye Marekin wala gasuwaye Marekin wala gasuwaye There are certain things fish and certain things fish I got my own sound, I don't sound like the rest. And even my attire and my choice of dress. And not long ago, I don't spoke English. The point is, police pull me over a lot. They wonder what type of rap sheet I got. And sometimes I take a young girl out to eat. And hold the door open, oh, you're so sweet. Of course, my affection's super illustrated. And I like to give, don't reciprocate it. Unless you can give me something innovated. Then let's cook it up, we don't refrigerate it. And back to this country of the education. When people get robbed and they celebrate it. When I get on a day, no but funny day. Marekin wala gasuwaye. Marekin wala gasuwaye. Marekin wala gasuwaye. When I get on a day, no but funny day. Marekin wala gasuwaye.
Gentlemen, this is a new sound. This is a new sound. Gabriela Shimano, Marashabella Hedato, Marapafifa Huato, Maga Aga Ishek, Maga Egua Sheriff, Sheriff Hajiwayan, Akala Hadirta, Lina Ranka Joga, Allah Yao Shega, Tinto Shalay, and now it's so big. Salah no way. Ado Kitio, Hadum Badane, Ado Haskatira, Hasus Badane, Sahita.
That is America by Kanan. What a treat to have this band here. Let's talk. We were talking before that tune about the influence of poetry in Somalia. You hear this music from the States. I gather your dad would send you records, hip-hop, yeah. Vinyl.
Yeah, my dad happened to be, he was in New York at the time, and we, I had heard a rap record while still in Mogadishu, and I'd asked him what it was, and he explained to me what this new sound was, and so he sent me an Eric B. and Rakim album called Paid in Full. And
that's a good first introduction to hip hop.
Thanks to dad, he knew what was going on.
Thinking of a master plan. 'Cause ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So I dig into my pocket, all my money spent. So I get deeper, but still coming up with lint. So I start my mission, leave my residence. Thinking how could I get some dead presidents? I need money. I used to be a stick-up kid. So I think of all the devious things I did. I used to roll up. This is a hole-up. Ain't nothing funny. Stop smiling. You still don't nothing move but the money. But now I learn to earn 'cause I'm righteous. I feel great. So maybe I might just search for a 9-to-5. If I strive.
So yeah, I kind of just memorized the phonetics of the English language through that record.
But obviously, as a kid, you must have saw the parallels between the hip-hop world and your poetry.
Yeah, a little bit. We have such diverse kind of poetry in the country. There's like the heavy, dense nomads poetry. There's the pastoral poetry. There's the political poetry. There's folk poetry, there's melody poetry, and many, many genres in poetry and so on. And there's one particular genre called danto, which rap kind of sounds like it emerged from. I was used to the older version of it, and here I am hearing a kind of a youthful, rebellious sort of version of it, and so that was very interesting for me.
What about Somali music? Was that creeping into your thinking about, hey, I may eventually do something like this someday in my life?
I'd always been around music. We would go to a lot of plays and political theater. When I was about 6 years old, 7 years old, they started taking me to these like really important events. But I don't, music had never occurred to me. I never thought I would be a musician at that age. Mm-hmm. I really didn't. There were too many musicians around me that were too great for me to think I was going to be one of them.
Hmm. It was just too daunting to imagine yourself playing an instrument or getting up
there
on stage.
Yeah, just to see myself, to liken myself to the poets that I was around, I mm-hmm. thought, man, these guys got this. I better do something else.
Like the block is sold. How could he be from the deepest, darkest of zero to become king in New York like De Niro? And he ain't even from New York. That's what's weird, yo. But where he's from, they just...
We'll continue our conversation with Kanan in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and American Public Media. And later on, Greg will add a track that he can't live without to the Desert Island Jukebox.
Get all up in your earlobe, and if you shut me down, you can kill my ego, which is my enemy.
invited in your VIP. And Africans love them some V.I.G. But Tupac is official H.N.I.C. And my job is to write just what I...
Come.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and American Public Media. I'm Greg Kot with Jim DeRogatis, and that's the song ABCs from our guest this week, Kanan. The poet and rapper grew up in Somalia and left that country at age 13 at the beginning of the Somali Civil War. Let's return to our discussion with Kanan at that point in his life. What were your memories of that time? Did you feel like your life was in danger?
Oh, I know it was. Mm-hmm. We lived in a time when day in and day out there were explosions and artillery fire and homes were blowing up next to us. I mean, I was 11 when I found a grenade behind my school and kind of was playing with it, and it got unpinned and blew up my school. And
oh, my God.
So this was like day in and day out. The violence was getting closer. It went from rumors to hearing it in sound and to feeling it and seeing it. So we knew that it was just a matter of time, but we got very, very fortunate. And my mother's audacity to want some kind of hope for us, she managed to get us a visa to the United States. And after us, Somali Airlines, which was the last commercial flight that we were on, had not flown since. So
that was it.
Yeah.
You guys lived for a while in Harlem, right?
Yeah.
And then moved up to Canada.
That's right.
Was it the socialized medicine or the snow, or what was the attraction of the Great White North?
There were a few reasons. I think at the time, America wasn't, especially New York, wasn't really looking for new immigrants. And so immigration was difficult, but Toronto was at the time opening its doors to new immigrants, so my father moved us there.
Well, we want to pick up the story, but how about another song, Kanan?
Sure. I could play you this song relevant to the journey. It's a song called Take a Minute.
Excellent.
Strikes and all, didn't do it to gain power or money. If I recall, it's the gift. I guess I'll pass it on. Mother thinks it'll lift the stress of Babylon. Mother knows my mother, she suffered blows. I don't know how we survived such violent episodes. I was so worried. It hurt to see you bleed, but as soon as you came out the hospital, you gave me sweets. Yeah. They try to take you from me, but you still only gave them some prayers and sympathy. Dear mama, you helped me write this by showing me to give is priceless.
And any man who knows a thing knows he knows not a damn, damn thing at all. And every time I felt the hurt and I felt the giving getting me up off the wall, I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breeze. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute. All I can say is the worst is over now. We can serve the hard times, divorce, it's over now. They try to keep us out, but they doors is open now. My man Akon is getting awards and covers now. This is K-9 and still repping the S. Coming out of Moke, the show and still draped in the mess. And no matter how we strong, homie, it ain't easy coming out of where we from, homie. And it's the reason why I can never play phony. Tell them the truth is what my dead homies told me. Ooh yeah, I take inspiration from the most heinous of situations, creating medication out my own tribulations. Dear Africa, you helped me write this by showing me the give is priceless. And any man who knows a thing knows he knows not a damn, damn thing at all. And every time I felt the hurt and I felt the giving getting me up off the wall, I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute. To any man who knows a thing knows he knows not a damn, damn thing at all. And every time I felt the hurt and I felt the giving getting me up off the wall, I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe.
That is Take a Minute on Sound Opinions with Kanan and his band. We are here in the studio with Kanan. So pick up the story. You are in Toronto. You've been assimilated now into three cultures. You know,
I gotta ask, what's the first time when you saw snow? What kind of warp was that, man?
Hey, it must have been weird.
It was a funny experience. You know, because in Somali, there's no language for snow. There's only
there's
only a word for ice. So I remember hearing about it in Somalia and hearing that there was ice that fell from the sky on people. And I thought, man, that's really terrible. You know, like, because I just kept imagining these big ice cubes falling on people's heads. So it was really, it was pleasant when I saw that it was like little tiny, you know, snow things. I mean, I actually stood outside and just kind of, I just had a t-shirt on and was really like, I think for the first 3 months, I wasn't even cold because I had been so hot all my life.
Mm-hmm.
My body kind of was like, okay, this is not bad. And then I started to get, really, really cold.
Obviously, you were in your teens now. You had this poetry background. Were you able to start performing at any point? Or how did you see, you know, how did you end up doing music and poetry in the Canadian scene?
First, it was a lot of obstacles. One main obstacle was language. I didn't speak any English at all.
Yeah.
And I knew that it was necessary for me to get a handle on the language to be able to use it the way I would like to. And so I had to learn the language first. And even after that, there were a lot of turbulent times in my life. And that paused my creativity for a while. Only after I had a little bit of a space, a breath from all of it, was I able to kind of just stream it all out and write music and poetry.
So you started at open mic nights around Toronto, is that right?
Yeah, I would be kind of like invited to do these things, and I was really a nervous wreck. I mean, I could never perform in front of people. You know, in high school, if there was a presentation for me to stand up in front of the class, I would just not show up for the week altogether, hoping they forgot.
You know, was this because you were insecure about your English?
No, it was just I was never the kind of guy that could stand in front of people and take attention for himself. And so it's difficult for me. But eventually I started doing a few performances here and there, and the thing got out of hand quickly. You
know? Well, and then it's amazing to hear you say that, Kanan, because a few years later, 2001 or so,
you're in front of the United Nations making a presentation about your country. What led to that moment where you were speaking in front of this huge decision-making body?
Yeah, my writing kind of got around. I used to publish works on some Somali portals and papers, and the largest Somali website at the time, which was getting millions and millions of people from all over the diaspora and in the country, would put up my writings on their front page and give everybody a chance to read this little kid who was writing these strange things about post-trauma and and life in the diaspora. And they really took to what I was doing. And then someone from the UN saw these things and how the Somalis were reacting to what I was doing. I got invited to this prestigious event. It was their 50th anniversary. And so I was supposed to do a song there, but ended up doing a little bit more, you know, did a poem and and so on.
And is it then when kind of the music thing, okay, maybe I see a future doing this sort of thing?
Yeah, I got a lot of interest and quick success at that point, you know, and this is 2001, but I didn't make an album till 2005, you see, so there was that gap, and that gap for me was the most important musical gap of my life, because what I was doing was I was deciding whether I had a relevant position in music, you know, whether what I was doing was missing.
Well, one of the first things they always try to do in the music industry, especially in this country, is try to put you in your slot.
Yeah.
Where do you belong? And was that the issue?
I knew that that would happen. My concern was not really the boxing and the packaging. More it was my own internal justification for producing sound into the world. I think it's very selfish for people who just make things, you know, that are unnecessary to be made, you know. I think it takes up space, and I don't want to ever take up space. I just thought, why am I here? Like, what is the point of me creating something, and is it necessary? Is it absolutely necessary? And at some point, the answer was, for me personally, it was, because I actually was surviving my own memories and past through the melodies and songs I was making. So if it was necessary for me, it might be necessary for someone else.
We want to finish up your story, Kenan, but let's get another song first. What are you going to play for us?
I will play you... This song is called Waving Flag.
Born to a throne, stronger than Rome, but violent prone, poor people's own. But it's my own, all I have known, where I got grown, streets we would roam. Out of the darkness, I came the farthest, among the hardest survival. Learn from these streets, it can be bleak, accept no defeat, surrender, retreat. So we fighting to eat, and we when we'll be free, so we patiently wait for that fateful day. It's not far away, but for now we say, when I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, it's like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes. When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back, oh, oh, oh.
everybody will be singing it.
Waving Flag on Sound Opinions. That was Kanan with his band here in the Jim and Kane Maybe studio. You were underselling your song. You did this huge video with this particular song. It is becoming, it is a theme song for the upcoming World Cup, right?
Yeah.
An amazing accomplishment. And it has that sort of anthemic quality. You could see this being sung in stadiums around the world. Did you envision that song when you wrote it as something that was going to end up being used in this particular way? It must have been a huge honor to see it.
Yeah, it was an incredible honor. I didn't think about all of that at all. Me personally, I don't let the thoughts of what might happen with something creep up into my my process of making something, you know, because I think it might affect the making of it. And I remember just writing from a moment of discontent, you know, and wanting to get out of that the darkness and find a little moment of light.
You talked earlier about wanting, sort of defining, okay, what is my purpose here a decade ago when you had doubts about whether or not you wanted to do this. Clearly, you have resolved that. And whether you want to be or not, a lot of what you do is perceived politically, socially. In fact, some of the songs are rather pointed on this most recent record in saying there's some artists out there who are selling millions of records and they're not really saying anything.
Well, when you have a song like ABCs, right, where you're talking about how kids in Mogadishu are learning how to shoot a gun before they can recite their ABCs, all these rappers who are talking about how cool gunplay is, they've never even seen one, much less seen the damage it can do to somebody they love.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different kind of, I think, violence. You know, I think that American version of violence, and especially in music, is really adapted from cinema. When you watch films and you see that it's beautiful and likable, you know, the way the guy poses with the gun with his cool posture when he shoots. But violence, real violence is ugly. It's a cracked rip. It's someone crumbling. It's ugly. It's a mother crying, you know. This is the violence that we know because it's so vast and rampant. And so it's difficult for me to be a guy that glorifies violence having really seen it, you know.
And you seem to believe wholeheartedly that music can be a vehicle for change, or at least should put something out there that is going to affect some kind of change.
I mean, I do think it does that, whether we acknowledge it or not. And I'm not opposed to great love songs. I like them just as much as everybody else. You know, I like being entertained too, and fast cars, and you know, but there comes a moment when we have to start to reflect what we're seeing in the world as well. You know, it's very difficult for me to think about the clubs when I know that there's an earthquake going on. You know, it's just it's just there's a disconnect between what is happening and what is being written about.
Yeah. Kanan, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Let me introduce me. I don't gotta pack.
To listen to Kanan's entire live performance, visit soundopinions.org. To sound off on the show, call 888-859-1800 or email interact@soundopinions.org. We'll be back in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and American Public Media with a review of the new album from American rockers The Hold Steady. Back to Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and American Public Media. That is a song called Soft in the Center from the new album Heaven Is Whenever, the fifth in the career of The Hold Steady. Greg, we had Craig Finn and Tad Kubler and the boys in the band as guests on Sound Opinions a while back. They have been going strong since early in the new millennium. Originally, those two gentlemen were part of a Minneapolis band called Lifter Puller. They migrated to Brooklyn, Hipster Central, right? Didn't initially think they were going to put a band together, but wound up coming back together, making music based on the kind of 70s bar band, arena rock, heavy on the Bruce Springsteen. Lo and behold, they began to build a following as The Hold Steady. The band is rounded out with several other talented musicians, including a really interesting keyboardist and possessor of the most distinctive mustache in indie rock in the last 20 or 30 years, Franz Nicolai. For album number 5 here, Nicolai has left the group. He was considered a big part of the sound of that 2006 breakthrough album by The Hold Steady, Boys and Girls in America, their third album. Now it's album number 5. They don't have the keyboardist anymore. What do they have? We're going to play a song, and as always with these record reviews, come back and give our opinions. This is called We Can Get Together by The Hold Steady from the new album Heaven Is Whenever on Sound Opinions.
She played Heaven Is an Happening. She played Heaven Is a Truck. She said Heavenly was cool. I think they were from Oxford. I only had one single. It was a song about a pure and simple love. There's a girl on Heaven Hill. I come up to her cabin still. She said, whose good do got huge? But they started in St. Paul. Do you remember? Makes no sense at all. And Heaven is the whole of the heart. And Paradise is by the dashboard light. Utopia's a band. They sang Love Is the Answer. And I think they're probably right. Let it shine down on us all. Let it warm us from within. Wasn't just the drummer, he was the singer's younger brother. I still spin that single, but it don't sound that simple. Let it shine down on us all. Let it warm us from within. He wasn't just the drummer,
you were someone's little brother. I still spin that single, but it don't sound that simple anymore.
That's We Can Get Together from the Hold Steady's fifth album on Sound Opinions, Heaven Is Whenever. Jim, you mentioned the departure of Franz Nicolai after the completion of the 2008 album Stay Positive. The keyboards tended to dominate that record, and it was the fussiest and slickest that the Hold Steady had ever sounded. And I think as a result, took away a lot of the strengths of what that band was all about. What I think was really appealing about that band was sort of that shaggy dog charm that they brought to those earlier records. They felt like they were sort of stumbling around in the dark and making up these songs as they went along. Yeah. And even though that wasn't the case, they certainly made you feel that way. Heaven Is Whenever, I think, is an attempt to sort of reconcile those two styles. The more ambitious songcraft that they were going for on that 2008 album with the sort of the wild haymakers they were throwing on those earlier records. And it doesn't quite get all the way there for me. There are a few attempts at hugely ambitious songwriting, especially the final song in the record. It's this 7-minute, heavily orchestrated track where you hear Craig Finn actually trying to sing.
We'll get through the night. Our struggle still feels wonderful most days. In New York City, I love it when you turn on your lights. Our struggle still feels wonderful tonight.
Finn is not exactly a singer. He's sort of this sing-speak, street philosopher type of character. Catching him in the stream of consciousness in the middle of the street, and they flip the microphone on. That's the charm of the guy, and that's also the downfall of the guy.
He wears his influences on his sleeve. And look, you know, Craig Finn is an obstacle to overcome for some people. I mean, you know, I love Jack Kerouac and Husker Du. You forgot to mention the Husker Du homage of We Can Get Together. The guy just name drops nonstop. I got a real problem with this band. I have panned all of their albums. I do not like this band on record. I do not. Can't go there. But live, they're magical. Part of it is Craig Finn looks like such a schlub, you know?
Yeah.
He looks like he should be teaching, you know, shop class at a vocational technical institute, right? But he's got those glasses and you know, he's so excited. He's read beat poetry. He can't read Big Sur enough. He loves his Kerouac. He loves his Husker Du. He's going to throw things in there just because he's so excited about it. And his charm on stage is so infectious, you can't help but like this guy. Plus, the rhythm section is great. They're a wonderful bar band. But you take them out of the bar and you put them on your stereo and it's really hard to get down because then the voice begins to bother me. The overproduction at times wears on me. Love them live. Was thrilled when they were on the radio show. I thought it was one of our best in-studio performances ever. Hate their records. Sorry, Craig. Buy it, burn it, trash it. It's a trash it record, Greg.
See, I think you're wrong on that. I think this is a transitional record. It is not a great Hold Steady record. I'm going to give it a burn it, though, because I think they're trying to get to somewhere new, and I applaud the effort. Maybe they'll get there next time. They didn't quite make it this time.
I tell you, little buddy, this whole island is bewitched.
Remember, we were shipwrecked together.
As often as possible here on Sound Opinions, Greg or I like to take a trip to the desert island, pop a quarter in the jukebox, and play you a song we can't live without. Mr. Cott, what do you got?
Jim, thank you. K-Non inspired me to think about a particular era of hip-hop music where, once again, you were starting to see artists emerge who were kind of ill-defined. K-Non was talking about the fact that, you know, I don't really fit in to any particular genre. And I think there was a legion of artists in that era about a decade and a half ago that had a similar vibe where they were inspired by hip-hop, but the hip-hop purists didn't exactly see them as hip-hop MCs. In other words, hey, man, you don't have the two turntables and a microphone thing going on. What's this with the live band backing? Don't quite understand what you're doing. I'm thinking about artists like Mi Fi Mi, Basshead, even Arrested Development to a degree were in that bag, where they were blending a lot of different genres, but with an MC up front. I think one of the very best in that league was a group known as Spearhead. They're still going strong. Michael Fronte, the front man. Their debut album came out in 1994 called Home. Fronte had been in a previous band out of Northern California called the Disposable Heroes of Hip-Hopracy, and they experimented with more avant-garde type of music, including industrial music. With Spearhead, he went in a more neo-soul direction. In fact, he anticipated that whole neo-soul movement that would give us artists like Erykah Badu and D'Angelo, blending the hip-hop consciousness with those soul vibes, you know, female backing singers, live instrumentation, but with an inner-city hip-hop sensibility out front. Fronte, a great socially conscious rapper, and I think one of the most significant songs from that era was this one that I'm going to play from that debut Spearhead record. It's called Hole in the Bucket from Spearhead on Sound Opinions.
I work 9 to 5 and stars in the PM, and I love the sunrise, so I step out in the AM. The street is black and shiny from the nightly rain. The glory of the light brings evaporation. Mornings fresh, oxygen cleanest. I take a deep hit, help my mind stay the greenest. I'm already awake, so I'm not drinking coffee. Don't want a cigarette, cause it's a form of slavery. Walk into the store, cause I need a few items. The sun heats my blood, like a hit of vitamins. I need to buy some food for my dreads. I can't remember why, but I need a spool of thread. Well, a man with dirty dreads, he steps around the corner. He asks me for a dime, a nickel or a quarter. I don't have any change, so I'm stepping along. But as I'm walking past, he sings to me a song. There's a hole in the bucket. Dear Eliza. There's a hole in the bucket. Dear Liza, dear Liza. There's a hole in the bucket. Dear Liza, Liza. There's a hole in the bucket. Dear Liza, dear Liza. The day is picking up, cause I'm humming the song. The buses and the people all keep moving along. To the shopkeeper, I say, what's up? And I'm thinking about the man who's holding up the cup. I pay for all the stuff and get a pocket full of change. Well, should I give it to the man's a question in my brain. What's gonna happen if I give the man a dime? I don't wanna pay for another brother's wine. What's gonna happen if I give the man a quarter? Will he find a dealer and try to place an order? What's gonna happen if I give the man a nickel? Will he buy some food or some pork that's been pickled? I'm not responsible for the man's depression. How can I find compassion in the midst of a recession? How can all these questions keep a fool with my head? And I still can't remember why I need a spool of thread. There's a hole in the bucket. Dear Liza. But there's a hole in the bucket. Dear Liza. Dear Liza. But there's a hole.
Hole in the Bucket by Michael Franti in Spearhead on Sound Opinions. Nice choice, Greg, for a Desert Island Jukebox pick. What do we have on the show next week?
Next week, Jim, we've got some buried treasures, records that have slipped underneath the mainstream radar, but that we feel you can't live without.
Greg, as always, we have some thank yous to say on the way out. Kanon and his band were recorded by Drew Bodker and Adam Yaffe. As always, our producers are the wise and witty Jason Saldana and Robin Lynn. And our executive producer and fearless leader is Tori Southside Malatia.
On Sound Opinions, everyone's a critic. So give us a call on our hotline, 1-888-859-1800.
Please call me, baby, wherever you are. It's too cold to be out walking in the streets.
New messages.
Hey, guys. Nando from Chicago. I'm calling about your review of MGMT's record, Congratulations, from your last show. I'm going to have to agree with Greg. What an awesome record. I was really surprised. There's some pretty decent songwriting here. And, Jim, I disagree with you. I think they do have things to say, and I think they're doing a pretty good job of saying those things here. all this psychedelic rock referencing, all the name checking. I mean, there's a song called Brian Eno. That's risky.
So tired, so searching, I follow the sounds to a cathedral. Imagine my surprise to find that they were produced by Brian Eno.
It's tough to pull it off without sounding phony, and I think they pulled it off. I think it's heartfelt, there's good lyrics, plus there's this sort of dark sense of humor, which I think is great. I think the more I listen, the more I like this record, and I think most people just write it off because of management or MGMT or whatever. People, listen to Greg. It's a good record. Give it a chance. Go hear for yourself. Thanks, guys. Later.
Guys, this is Jesse Stern calling from Los Angeles. Been listening to your podcast for a while and wanted to just comment about the Erykah Badu review. Whatever anyone says about your opinions, what I appreciate is that you actually listen to it more than once, which really goes against the stereotypical reviewer or suit who, you know, tends to listen to the first minute and a half, you know, up to the second verse and then switches to the next track. So I just wanted to say I appreciate that you're actually giving an informed opinion that's based on actually listening. Keep up the good work. Thanks. Bye.
Hey guys, it's Paul from Chicago. Just giving a call because lately, I mean, I love the show, but you've been putting on just the sleepiest stuff. I mean, with the exception of that Clash show, I mean, it's been all Vivian girls from like a million miles away, and I'm sorry, but Beach House, just sleepy, sleepy stuff. So, you know, it's getting nice out. Bring some rock. Bring something that'll get all up in your face. I look forward to that, and thanks so much for the show.
Hi, this is Dustin in Richmond, Virginia, listening on WRIR, Richmond Independent Radio, and I got a question. You bill yourselves as the only program about rock and roll. Well, where is it? For the last couple months in general, there's not been one shred of what even you guys called rock. Come on, Erykah Badu, dream pop duo Beach House, what felt like an hour on a stinking operatic song cycle from David Byrne, and a segment on that teeny pop kid Justin Bieber, for crying out loud? Before that were shows about synth pop. I want to hear about the next Stooges, the next Modern Lovers, or the next Ramones, and I want it from you, you so-called rock journalists, but all you're giving me is the next Donna Summers. Rock isn't dead, I know. I live in Richmond, for God's sake. Do your job, dig a little, and find some real rock and roll.
No more messages.
To give us your opinion on sound opinions, call our hotline, 1-888-859-1800. We'll be back next week with sound opinions from Chicago Public Radio and American Public Media.